why the saxophone? What drew you to that instrument?
Well, I started playing the piano when I was 2. And when I was 6, space became available in the school band. And my piano teacher suggested either the flute or the saxophone because they're both very versatile instruments. And we chose the saxophone because, you know, you can play anything on it. And I, more importantly, kept going on it because I love the sound of it. And there's just something about the frequency of the saxophone and that really draws my ear to it.
Can you remember the first notes you played?
I think I probably can. I'm not sure. It might have been Hot Cross Buns. But no, I do remember my first lessons, actually. And it felt easier because I knew how to read music already. And that makes learning an instrument infinitely easier.
The saxophone I'd more associate with jazz or even bad 80s rock. But how did it get into a classical form?
Well, I grew up playing a lot of jazz and perhaps even a little bit of bad 80s rock. I think for some reason my mind and my brain just works better in, I guess, a contemporary classical setting. And it's like speaking a different language. I speak the language of jazz and everything else, but I just feel like my home language is classical.
Where does the saxophone sit within a classical orchestra? Is it, do we see them often?
Not very often. There are a few very well-known examples, like Ravel's Bolero and Pictures in Exhibition and Bizet's L'Alésien, and then some of the American compositions like West Side Story and An American in Paris, Porgy and Bess, and actually some of the Russian composers like Shostakovich and Prokofiev, Rachmaninoff, they used it as well. But, I mean, within the greater context of the orchestral repertoire, it's not used anywhere near as much as other instruments.
You mentioned earlier, we little joked about 80s rock and the saxophone, but it actually does figure prominently on your latest release, Catch
Absolutely.
Me If You Can, particularly from Dire Straits' Mark Knopfler and from the movie Local Hero. Just explain to us how that came about.
When I was a little girl, I used to hear Going Home on the radio all the time, and I loved it. And a few years ago, I heard it again on the radio, and I thought, oh gosh, I loved that when I was a kid. And I thought, I'll call up my friend who works at a record store. And so I called him up and I sang it to him over the radio. And I said, do you know what that is? And he said, oh, I think so. I'll just ask my boss. And so he called his boss and his boss said, oh, I'll just ask my boss. You know, and 3 or 4 people down the line, we worked out that it was called Going Home and it was by Mark Knopfler. And I thought, gosh, I'd really like to play that with orchestra and have it arranged into that kind of format. And so I went home to London where I live and I got in touch with Mark Knopfler's manager and I just asked him, you know, what they thought about that. And he said that Mark was very keen on the idea and they also suggested a few other pieces of Mark's that were happily from the same film, which tied it all in very nicely, and also featured the saxophone quite prominently. And so over a number of years, really, we put together this, I dreamt up this concerto in the kind of a form of an orchestral suite, which has 4 kind of sections from the soundtrack of the film Local Hero. And the ABC Classics label, they loved the idea and they offered to record it with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. And they asked a really fabulous film composer from Australia, Jessica Wells, to arrange it. And we ended up recording it last October, I'm very pleased with the result. I think she's done a great job.
I mean, a lot of artists these days, whether it be classic, rock, jazz, any sort of style, getting right onto to social media. I know you're on Twitter, Facebook, but you've actually now become a YouTube sensation of some sorts. A piece you recorded with Philip Glass is I think about well over 400,000 visits on YouTube.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that video wasn't even going to happen. I was in a studio, somebody had a camera, and they were doing another more professional video for another piece that I was doing. And right at the end of the day, I said, look, could you just film me playing through just once, you know, no editing, nothing. And they did that. And then they popped it up on YouTube. And, you know, it's just amazing.
Now, your work with Philip Glass, how did you come involved working with him?
Well, I didn't actually work with him directly, face to face. It was all done via agents, managers, and post, because he's based in New York. But yeah, the piece that we're talking about is his violin concerto, and it's quite a well-known piece of classical repertoire, I guess, and much loved by a lot of people. And I had heard it before, but a friend played it to me a few years ago, and he said to me, do you reckon you could play that on the saxophone? Because he knew how much I loved it. And I said, oh, no, don't be stupid. And, you know, of course, you know, put down a challenge. And and I thought about it and thought about it. And eventually I, again, got in touch with Philip Glass and was given permission to have a go. And I arranged it, but it's being written for the violin, there are a lot of technical differences between the two instruments. And the two most important ones are, firstly, the difference in the range. And I had to learn a lot of high notes and move, had some very cumbersome kind of fingering changes on the instrument to be able to get around all the notes without changing too many of them, because I wanted to stay as true to the score as possible. But also I had to learn how to circular breathe for it, because it's a very continuous piece of music, and there aren't really any there aren't very many ends of phrases.
It's almost like playing a didgeridoo with the circular breathing, is that right?
Yeah, it's the same concept. I learned how to do the circular breathing quite quickly, but to actually be able to do it on a soprano saxophone seamlessly so that nobody could tell that I was circular breathing, and also to be able to do it while I was thinking about all those notes going past, that took me a while.
With your latest release now, you'll be doing some concerts in the capital cities. Do you often tour in the regional centres of New South Wales or Australia?
I haven't done for a while. A few years ago, I did a regional tour with the Sydney Symphony Orchestra at Bathurst and Orange, and I've done the same in Victoria with Orchestra Victoria, but sadly not. I would love to.
What's the audience reaction when you're heading to these places? I guess as an artist, you think, what do you think the audience reaction will be when you're heading to these places you haven't performed before?
Well, it's not wise to judge the audience reaction whilst on stage. That's what I have to say. Because, you know, when people are listening, if they're really absorbed, usually their facial expression isn't very good.
Yeah. The really deep thought and listening.
That's right. They can look really blank and you're thinking, oh, my God, you are so bored. I'm so sorry. But no, and then you speak to that person afterwards and they say, oh, gosh, that changed my life. Oh, thank goodness. It's always very nice. And I get a lot of the time after concerts, people say to me, oh, I've never heard the saxophone sound like that before. And that's nice.